Because here on here this evening, and I was thinking, as Russell was doing the communion and reading from the book of Hebrews, today is a study of the book of Hebrews. We had a lesson on it this morning. Now Russell, now me. So it's good though. It didn't came by accident. It didn't intend it that way, but it just happened. And we want to look this evening at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 to start with. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Now, this, of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is sometimes called the great chapter on faith. And as was pointed out in our lesson this morning, Hebrews chapter 10 begins the idea. Then chapter 11 begins by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then the rest of the 11th chapter of Hebrews is an example of different people who, because of their faith, acted upon that faith, and God was pleased with them. And that's the point of Hebrews chapter 11. You go all the way down to the end, where it talks about those who were persecuted severely or even put to death for the cause of the Lord. And all of those in chapter 11 are talking about those during the time of the Old Testament, but it was looking forward to the coming of the new. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." Now notice, you read through Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews chapter 11 destroys the whole concept that we're saved by faith only. Because all of these things, it says by faith, and then it says what they did because of their faith. Faith that does not motivate to action, according to James chapter 2, is a faith that is dead. It has to be a motivating force to an action that we do for the Lord. So what did Noah do? He was warned. He believed God. He moved with godly fear, which we'll talk about a little bit later. He prepared the ark for his household, and by doing so, he condemned the rest of the world because they didn't act. They might have believed in God. They might have even believed that there was going to be a flood, but they didn't do anything about it. Because of that, they were destroyed. And he says, and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to the faith. In essence, God restarted the whole earth with Noah because of his faith. And so we look at that, and it says faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, there is a substance, there is a foundation, faith, and then a body of word, the Word of God, that gives us the foundation of our faith based upon Christ. It's a substance, not some idle idea of something, belief that we hope something's going to happen. It is an accomplished fact through Christ, and it's going to be an accomplished fact if we're faithful that we're going to have eternal life. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance comes from the word having to do with something that can be experienced in our life. In other words, if we believe it, and we put it into practice, then we'll see that God's going to fulfill His promise to you and me. And He did for all of these people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. You go back there to Abel and Noah and Enoch and all of these people who were faithful. And you read on through all these different ones that God blessed because their faith motivated them to action. But also the evidence of things not seen. We may not have seen them yet, but we know from what has gone before that we can have faith in these things that will. One of the studies, it's sometimes interesting to do, you go back to the Old Testament and read all of these prophecies of the Old Testament, how they came about exactly as God predicted through the prophets, over and over and over again, all the way through the Old Testament and into the New. we see the evidence that is presented. God said it's going to happen. God brought it into being. It did. It happened. And then the prophecy was fulfilled. And so it is the evidence of things not seen. Now, we look around us in our world today, and we see the evidence of who God is by the creation in which we live. The stars at night, the moon, and the sun during the day, and all of the things in this world that God has given to us, it's evidence that God exists. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 20 that these things that we see is the evidence that God is. In other words, there is a God. We see evidence of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection because what the Word of God says and what the result of that is also. And the Bible itself is the evidence which God presents to you and me that we can study it, we can learn it, we can see in everyday life how it is fulfilled when we serve God faithfully. But Noah had to act upon his faith. Noah just couldn't sit around and say, okay, I believe there's going to be a flood, and then wait till the flood comes. No, he had to act upon his faith. Because God told him, God told him to build an ark. Now, someone came up with a thing one time. He was talking about what if there had been newspapers in the days of Noah, and what would it say about Noah? Someone said that the headline on the paper would be "Crazy Man in the Mountains Building Boat 500 Feet Long," because he says there's going to be a flood to destroy the world. That would be the story. And you think about it, and Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives were the only people that believed enough to enter into the ark. All of those who doubted, all those who probably made fun of him and everything else, they found out that God was telling the truth. They had never seen a flood before. They had never seen rain in the sense that we think of rain. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth." Now, as far as we know, that did not change until after God gave that command and the flood came. How would we feel if we were in Noah's place? Now, turn back for a moment to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 10. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I'm sure they not only made fun of Noah, they probably persecuted him and all the things, other things. They might have tried to stop his work, but he remained faithful to God. So we go back to this Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah." Well, who was Noah? He was, first of all, the great-grandson of Enoch. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 24 says that Enoch walked with God and he was taken. He was not, for God took him. He was no longer upon the earth. In fact, this same Enoch in Jude verse 7, it says he prophesied about the destruction of the world. And so Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. And the Bible says that he and Elijah were the only two people that didn't have to die. They were transformed and taken to the presence of God without having to die. But Enoch was paid an extremely high compliment from God himself, because the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. In other words, he was a very faithful man. In spite of all the evil and all the sin going on around him, he was faithful to God, and God caused him not to have to die. He was simply taken up to God's presence. Noah also, he was the grandson of Methuselah. Methuselah was his grandfather. Now, the basic thing we know about Methuselah was he lived longer than anybody else on the earth. Bible says he lived 969 years. Now, we don't know exactly whether he died in the flood or the year of the flood, but he died during that time. So he might have lived longer if it hadn't been for the flood. But anyway, that's Methuselah's claim to fame, is in the Bible he lived longer than anybody else. Also, the father of Noah was Lamech. Now we go back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 28. It says, "And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us in our work and in the toil of our hands, which comes because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." And so, notice, Lamech was not glad that he had a son because he had a son. He was glad because here somebody's going to help us with our work and work in the field and planting and all the things that he did. But notice what also he says, the toil of our hands which comes because of the ground which God has cursed. In other words, Noah's father Lamech blamed God for all the work that he had to do, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And in spite of being the grandson of Enoch, the father of Noah, Lamech was unfaithful. As far as we know, he died in the flood. And also, means we can't depend on our parents or grandparents or whoever they might be for us to be saved eternally. We can only depend upon our faith and our obedience and our faith in God to give us eternal life. But again, we go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 6 and beginning of verse 5. It says, "And Jehovah," or the Lord, "saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I read that sometimes and I think, well, how far are we from what Noah went through? Now, God's not going to destroy the earth with a flood again, but how far are we from that very same thing? It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of his thoughts was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved at his heart." Now, he did not sin, and that's not what the word repentance there means. It means he changed his mind about what he had done before. He says it repented. In other words, he was in a sense sorry for creating such a sinful person and such a sinful people. Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the heavens. It repents me that I have made them." Notice God said, "I'm going to destroy everything." And so God was going to completely destroy his creation upon the earth. But verse 8 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Now most of the time, and it just hit me not too long ago in reading this, most of the time we think, well, okay, we owe our lives for what Noah did. But it's not just people that owe their lives to Noah. Also the whole creation itself. Because God said, "I'm going to destroy all of it. I'm going to completely destroy it." But he didn't do it because Noah was faithful. That shows how the faith, the great faith of one person, can make such a difference in the world. But it says then, Noah, by faith, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet. It had never rained, as far as we know, upon the earth. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6 says the earth was watered by a mist. There's been several ideas about why this was. And most of the time, the explanation that's come up with is that the layer of water above the earth was so much greater before the flood, and that's where most of that water came from, and it condensed to flood upon the earth. And that makes a lot of sense. And also it makes sense with the aging process was a lot slower than it is now, because certain things from the sun speeds up the aging process. So they lived very long lives before the flood. And if you read, after the flood, each generation gets a little bit shorter and a little bit shorter, down to Abraham, who only lived 175 years instead of 500 or 600 or so. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so." So the indication is there's a great deal more water above the earth, and it condensed for that flood. But Noah had faith in God's promise. Noah had faith in God's promise, and he took the steps of faith. And so it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That's a good explanation of Noah's faith. He walked by faith. He'd never seen what God said was going to happen. He didn't know how to build an ark. God explained it to him. God told him. He even told him what the dimensions were, which we'll get to in a few moments. But people look around our world today and we see all that's going wrong, all the sin, corruption, everything else that's going on. And the Bible says we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And whether people seek for pleasure or whatever it might be, and in liquor or drugs or pornography or whatever else, anything in the world that they think is going to bring them joy and all of those things, but ultimately it's going to ruin themselves and ruin their lives. Turn over for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth there. And then you begin reading there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9. And he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Notice all of those things which are so common then and are so common today. He says, "Such were some of you." So there are some in the church of Corinth where some of these things were even a lot of them. He says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That's God's remedy to the problems and troubles of life on this earth. That's what God did for you and me. Well, it took Noah all of those years. God gave him 120 years to build the ark, but that wasn't all he did. The Bible says he moved with godly fear. It was not just fear that there's going to be a flood. That was probably part of it. But he moved with godly fear. Well, what is godly fear? Well, it's not just fear of punishment. That's part of it. If we don't do what God says, we need to fear because we're going to receive the wrath of God rather than the blessing of God. So why was this godly fear upon Noah? Well, this godly fear was a respect because Noah believed God and was willing to obey him. There is a reverence for God. You see it all the way through the Genesis account of Noah and his life. And the Bible says he was faithful to God out of all the others. The Bible says there Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And he was willing to work all those years to build the ark. But that wasn't the only thing. Noah had all those characteristics, and he also understood and believed in the power of God to deliver him. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Noah is an example of that victory. Our faith is in Christ. His faith was in God, and the fact that if he would build the ark, God would save him, and he did. And so Noah believed in God, and he acted upon it. And you and I can be saved also because we believe and because we're willing to obey Christ and obey God's will. So the Bible says he was moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house or his household. In other words, his household, his himself, his wife, his three sons and their wives. Well, they also had to believe. And I've often wondered how many people all over all those years might have worked for Noah in helping him build the ark. It was a huge process to be done to build such a thing. But he prepared. He prepared everything for it as God told him to do. The message was there for all of us. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know not the day or the hour." God did not tell Noah when the flood was going to come. Exactly. He said, "You've got 120 years, but you've got to get this done." So I'm sure he must have started the next day doing whatever was necessary. But do you think about the ark? You go back to the book of Genesis, and it was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, if you consider a cubit, as most people do, to be about 18 inches, that's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high or deep, as it would be in the water. Now, those who have studied these things know that's a very stable kind of boat or ship upon the water. It'd be very hard for it to capsize or to be turned back over like that. And so it was the most stable kind of boat or ship, and it was not built to go anywhere. All it was built to do was to float over the waters of the flood. And so God knew what he was talking about. Someone I was reading one time had a question, how many modern railroad boxcars would fit in the ark? Now, there are a lot of different people made guesses on that, but the total length and breadth and height of that could fit 600 modern railroad boxcars in that. That's why Noah had enough space for all of the animals. Also, most people think Noah had to take two of every kind of animal that's on the face of the earth into the ark. No, he didn't. He didn't have to take, God says, take two, and he had to take two dogs. He didn't have to take Cocker Spaniels and Great Danes and Chihuahuas and every particular kind. He just had to take two of those. And he did that as God commanded. But he prepared the ark for the overall purpose of the ark was to save himself and his family. Now, he did it also because God told him to build that big because he's going to save more than that. But he did it to the saving of his house. God would save if Noah would build. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "By grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest man should glory." We cannot glory on what great works we've done, and we're not saved by our faith and just we believe, and therefore we just decide to sit down and do nothing. Because most people, a lot of people stop there and say, "Well, okay, we're just saved by faith." Well, we are, by the grace of God. Yes, it's true. But notice what it says in verse 10, "not of works, lest man should glory." It's not our works we're doing. It's God's work of obedience to his will. And that's what Noah did. Noah could have built the ark the way he wanted, but he still would have been lost because he didn't build it according to what God said. And so he said, then says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, God before prepared that we should walk in them." God prepares our work for us to believe and obey and teach and set an example and help those who are in need and all of those things that God wants us to do. Well, that's what Noah did. He set that example. He was concerned about his family. We need to be concerned about our families. He was concerned about all the people around. Because as we'll see, he didn't just build the ark. He was working all of the time also. So if we want to save our family, we have to set an example like he did of being faithful all of the time and help others to find a way to Christ by teaching and setting an example and whatever things we can do. So he says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house through which He condemned the world. God didn't want any of those people to die. He wanted them to be saved. In fact, God, in a sense, looked all over the world to find someone who was righteous, and Noah was the one that he found that was righteous enough to do what he commanded and to fulfill his plan. God loved all those people that died in the flood, but they rejected God. And so he took his vengeance upon them. He gave them 120 years to repent. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says of Noah, not only that he built the ark, but he was a preacher of righteousness. All the time Noah was building the ark, he was preaching righteousness. You have to serve God. You have to come back to him. You have to repent. They gave him all of those years to preach righteousness, and they still rejected him. They continued in sin, and they died physically and spiritually by being cast out of God's presence because they rejected him. God doesn't want any of us to die in sin. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, God is long-suffering to us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, how many billion people are in the world? 7 billion, 8 billion, depending on which chart you're looking at. But God wants everyone to be saved. But very few, comparatively speaking, will be, because most people will not accept the will of God and believe and obey it. We need to be faithful and serve God faithfully all our lives if we're going to be having the promise of eternal life. So we need to look at these things. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, to you that are afflicted, rest with us. Paul in 2 Thessalonians writing to the church of Thessalonica, they were being severely persecuted. You go back to the book of Acts, and Paul himself, when he went and preached at Thessalonica, they tried to kill him. They ran him out of town. And that's when he went to Berea, where it says of them, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So Thessalonica seemingly was a hotbed, if you will, of persecution of God's people. So he says, to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of our Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the presence of God and from the glory of his power. But if you read on in that passage, the other side is, if we are faithful, we'll be able to go home with him for all of eternity. So we look at that, and that's what happened to the people in the flood who did not come and believe in God and follow him. They were destroyed. And he says also of Noah, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Righteousness is not self-righteousness. It's not look how great I am and how good I am. That was the way the Pharisees were in Jesus' day. They thought if they kept all the teachings and commandments and tenets of the law of Moses, that they would deserve salvation, that they were good enough for God to save them. They didn't need a Lord and a Savior because they could save themselves. They could be good enough. That's not what righteousness is in the New Testament. It's not holier than thou, so to speak. It's not hypocritical, but it's loving and humility and all of those things that go along with it. Heaven will be our hope and our final home if we will be faithful as Noah was. Turn back to Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21, and you think about this idea of Noah and what he had to face and what he had to do. But here's the other side of it. Revelation 21, 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. This is after the end of time as we understand it. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. In Christ, we are the church which God established. We are the tabernacle of God. We are all of those things together. But notice he says, and they, that's the tabernacle, that's us, shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Behold, and he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely. He to him who thirsts, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And we could read a lot more in Revelation. That's the end result of being taking the example of Noah in his day and being faithful. So what does God require of us? Well, we have to be prepared for Christ coming again or for our own death. One of those things is going to happen first. We have to prepare for it by believing and obeying Christ, obeying the gospel, and making a commitment to be faithful from that day forward. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, Peter says there, when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God's long-suffering waited 120 years from the call of Noah to the flood and its beginning. He says, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience before God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the outward that cleanses us. That's simply the act we go through of our faith. God does the cleansing from within. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, we're buried with him in baptism, and when we're raised, it's the working of God that cleanses us. We simply obey what God commands, and we accept by faith that those things are done for us, and we have the promise of eternal life. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son. And it said in Luke 15 and 17, how did he know what to do? The Bible says he came to himself. Sometimes we get far away from God. We need to do the same thing. Come to ourselves and understand. This evening, if there's a need in your life, we look at the lives of people like Noah and others who endured so much to be faithful to God. And yet when the time came, because they believed, because they had faith and obeyed, God gave them a promise of eternal life. Tonight, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.